So tonight we're going to talk about what have been called aids or additions. Sometimes people do things that make it easier to keep commandments. Other people look at the same activity and they conclude that that's an addition, it's not an aid. So we'll try to talk a little bit about those tonight and try to come up with some kind of a standard that we can use to determine whether something is an aid or an addition. And it's pretty clear. Biblical information is we can't add things to what God said. Of course, the beginning point is Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus is talking with his detractors at this point. And he says, you hypocrites. Now, what they've done is they come to Jesus. They said, your disciples are going through the field of grain, and they're plucking heads of grain, rolling it in their hands, and they're eating it, and it's the Sabbath, and that's work. So Jesus responds to them. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So we can't make rules and add them to what God said. There's no question about that. Now, if you look at Revelation, the 22nd chapter, you see kind of the flip side of that. We can't take anything away from what God said either. So we can't add to what God said. And we can't take anything away from what God said. Somebody have Revelation 22, 18 and 19 passage we're all familiar with.
I have it.
Go ahead, Kirsten.
I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which were written in this book.
And what's verse 19?
And 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book.
Right. So if we're going to know what God wants us to know, we're going to have to rely on God to tell us. And that's 1 Corinthians 1. Paul said, which one of you has advised God? The only person that knows the mind of man is man himself. In the same way, the only person that knows the mind of God is God himself. And he says, so we have spoken to you the things that God revealed to us. We can't change that. We have to be very careful in everything that we do to listen to what God said, not add anything or take anything away. Okay? Now, when we talk about some activities that people engage in, the first one that comes to mind in the case of most people is using instruments when we to accompany our singing in worship. And the reason is pretty simple for not doing that, because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, when he talked about what he was going to do in the assembly, he said, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my understanding. So 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, There's one thing that we ought to do in worship, in our assembly, and that's the context of 1 Corinthians 14. Very clearly, he's talking about within the assembly. He says, I will sing. So, there are a lot of things that people do when they sing, and we have to determine whether they're adding something to what God wants us to do, or whether they're just doing something that helps us do what God wants us to do. So let's think about some of the things that have been used. Musical instruments to accompany singing. And a musical instrument to accompany singing can range from a complex kind of musical accompaniment that includes more than the notes that we're singing. So you could have a big complex introduction, an interlude, and then you would have something at the end. That would be a musical accompaniment. You could also accompany singing by just playing the chords that we're singing, just the four notes, most of the time it's four, we sing four part harmony. So most of the time it's just four notes. And those four notes would be played at the same time that people are singing that particular note. Okay? What do you think? Aid or addition? Clearly it's going to help us sing better. So we can say it's going to help us sing better. Is it an addition to what Paul wanted us to do? What do you think?
I think it's an addition, but I don't know that I could prove it with this scripture or any scripture.
Okay. So hang on to the idea that it's an addition, and we'll get to the end. We'll talk about some ways to distinguish between an aid and an addition. Okay? So you would say musical instruments, whether it's playing a much fuller song than what we're singing, or whether it's just the four notes that make up the chord that we're singing at the time, you would say it's an addition. Okay?
I think.
What about using a mechanical metronome to keep us on pace? You know what a metronome is? It's that thing that goes click, 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 yeah. Click. Click, or beating to the music, hand clapping to the music. What do you think, aid or addition?
I think it's an aid because the metronome, I don't know about the clapping, that would drive me nuts, but we use those with whatever the harmony, you know, to catch the harmony. Wouldn't that be considered an aid so that we know what we're singing and what tune?
Okay.
So well, the metronome kind of does the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, the metronome just beats the time to keep the pace the way it is.
Right. And we wouldn't even have to see it. It would only really be the person up there that's singing it that could just keep the pace underneath the...
Okay.
Well,
I think it's an aid.
With his hands, I mean, a song leader that knows what they're doing.
Okay.
That will beat the time with their hands. And if for a visual aid.
Like if you're in eighth grade band and you're having trouble staying on the beat, the director of the eighth grade band or the leader of the band will tap their baton on the music stand that's in front of them. That's just like a metronome. Okay. And it's really no different than clapping. You could clap. Maybe that's an aid. What about singing along with pre-recorded singers? And we can do that. We have pre-recorded trained singers who are singing the songs that are in our books, and they're on us. They're in the case that or in the way that we have them, they're on a CD. So Ted could set that up so that when we sing a song, we have these pre-recorded trained singers that we can all sing with. What about that? Is it an aid or an addition?
I think that would be an addition.
Why?
And the only reason I say that is because I like our singing at our church. I mean, we're singing from the heart.
Okay.
And I feel like if we're listening to somebody's pre-recorded, then it kind of takes away maybe people not singing because they're just listening to the pre-recorded people, and that's not what we, you know, what we're about. Now, if we had like one of those Sunday meetings when we're practicing our singing, I think that could be an aid because we could kind of like, oh, okay, like now we can get the four-part harmonies, or oh, I see that section, or oh, that's how that's supposed to sound, and then we can try and implement it.
Okay. Other thoughts? Some people would suggest that there's a slippery slope here, that pretty soon you get to a choir and you've got the trained singers, and instead of singing along, you listen. And I have been to some community churches where they actually said from the stage, please don't sing along, just listen. Then on other occasions, they've said, hey, feel free to sing along, you know. I'm sorry?
I don't know. I think it's wrong.
Okay.
Just don't think it's a good thing. I think it takes away, probably kind of like what Kirsten was saying, I feel like we're focusing more on what we sound like, which I guess isn't a bad thing, but I feel like our focus is on the wrong thing if we bring that in. But that's just a thought. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hang on to that. It'll be useful when we get to trying to come up with some rules we can use to distinguish. Okay? What about instead of having pre-recorded trained singers, we looked at our group and we said, you know, we have some people that are trained singers and they do a good job singing the notes. Okay? So we'll give a microphone to somebody that's singing bass and somebody that's singing alto and somebody that's singing we already give a microphone to somebody singing the soprano. That's the leader, typically. Although the leader sometimes switches off and sings some other different part. And what would you think about something like that? Aid or addition?
Is there a third choice? That's all I
think it's an aid in the sense that, I mean, I love to hear Mandy's voice. We don't need to give her a microphone. I mean, you can hear her voice. And the new gal that her and her friends that have been coming, she has a beautiful voice, and you can hear that sometimes coming through. I don't know. I don't think you need to give them a microphone because I think there's already people in our church that have that, and you can kind of follow along with them.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's an aid. I don't think it's an addition. I mean, maybe the microphone to a certain person would be your addition, but I think...
You know,
anybody who can sing better than me would be an aid.
You're sitting close to Mandy, so you can hear her. Okay?
I think everybody can hear Mandy.
Not me. Okay.
But there might be some sense, especially if we were larger, where you wouldn't be able to do that, but you'd probably have more trained singers. Okay? So some of those seem like clearly additions. Some might clearly be aids, like a tuning fork to get us started, or a pitch pipe, or if we had a piano. I mean, I have worship places where we were worshiping in a school and there was a piano on the stage, and the song leader would go over and play the four notes that we began with. Just so, you know, you could get the soprano, alto, tenor, and the bass. Now, that's a pretty expensive way to sound those four notes. But most of our song leaders do it with an electronic pitch pipe. They have a tuning instrument on their phone, and they could play all four of the notes that we start with. That would be not a problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on so I can figure this out.
I'm sorry. Okay. So we've got some aids and additions.
Okay.
Now, let's think about missionary societies or colleges. And I took this quotation from The Guardian of Truth back in September of 1994. It was written by Lewis Willis, and this is what he said. He makes an argument here. You kind of have to watch carefully what his argument is, and you can see his argument on the, let's see, it'll be the fourth slide or fifth slide, where I just went through and restated his argument. But this is what he said. The missionary society created by these brethren, he's talking about the missionary society that was created in the 1860s. It was called the American Christian Missionary Society. And that's what he's referring to as he begins. He says, it was a human organization. They solicited funds from churches and individuals for the operation of this human organization. The missionary society then selected preachers and their fields of labor and sent them forth to preach. The preachers were under the control of the missionary society, who supplied their support. The only control the church had over this matter was to decide whether or not to support the society. There was one fundamental thing wrong or sinful with the arrangement. Here's his first point. God assigned the work of preaching the gospel to the church, not to a human institution. That made the liberals no difference, and they pushed their human society until it divided the church. That division was generally complete around 1900, 1910. Is the date that many give for that. Okay? And then he switches gears and he starts talking about Lipscomb University. Let's make one thing clear, he said. God organized the church and assigned work to it. Note what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God assigned the work of evangelism to the church, and he gave it all the organization they needed to accomplish that mission. It's another part of his argument. Paul went forth preaching, and he was never supported by a missionary society. To the Corinthians, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service, in 2 Corinthians 11:8. We know that it was so that he was so supported by the Philippian church. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Finally, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the scriptural case which establishes that the church is to do the work God assigned to it, and it has no right to turn its work over to a human institution. Okay? So the first part of this was a discussion of the American Christian Missionary Society. The second part of this was a discussion of Lipscomb University, because what Lipscomb University was doing was preachers who were attending Lipscomb and graduating were writing letters to churches asking for support, something that I have done, and they said, if you send the money to Lipscomb and in a separate letter tell them you want it to go to me, it will go to me. But if you do it that way, it will be tax deductible. If you just send the money to me, it's not tax deductible, which makes a difference for some folks, I guess. I'm not in a tax bracket where I really have to worry about that, but I do know that individuals have supported preachers individually. Okay? And sometimes individuals get together and they form a college, just like Florida College, and they do that so that they can train people in the gospel. So is the Missionary Society an aid or is it an addition?
It could be an addition because you're giving money to, you're not giving money to the church to, you know, to support. You're giving money to maybe young kids or adults, and they might not use it wisely. I mean, it's kind of a, you know,
okay.
So in that case, I think it's an addition. Yes, Jesus sent out his, you know, people to go preach his word, but he told them specifically, don't take any clothes, don't take any, you know, shoes, a knapsack, food. You knock on a door, and if they greet you, you are like, oh, okay. And if, you know, and they want you to come in, you go in and you eat what they supply. I mean, he was really specific about that. I mean, he sent out 70 people. And those 70 people followed his rule, so.
We know that sometimes individuals supported Paul as well. Later.
Right.
We know churches supported Paul.
I was thinking of that with the Philippians when they sent all that stuff to Paul when he was in prison.
Right.
And he sent. But he kind of sent it back because he was like, well, now I'm giving it back. Thank you for supporting me, but I would rather it go to you so that when I come to you, I know that you've been doing the works.
Okay.
So.
Okay. It is an institution separate and apart from the church. There's no question about that. It is doing the missionary society or the college is doing some of the work that God gave the church to do. And that's the argument that Willis makes. He says, God assigned the work of preaching the gospel to the church, not to a human institution. God organized the church and assigned the work to it. He organized the work of assigned the work of evangelism to the church, and he gave it all the organization it needed to accomplish that mission. The church is to do the work God assigned to it, and it has no right to turn its work over to a human institution.
I feel like colleges are different because sometimes, I mean, you choose a college because it might fit your spirituality, I guess. I mean, Florida College, and there are other colleges that are in other states. You know, Bushnell, people go to Bushnell because they feel like it's not going to be inundated with a bunch of other things. They're going to hear a little bit of God's word, not necessarily, you know, in a way that you would if you went to church or whatever, but we didn't have colleges when Jesus was around, so he didn't really.
But. Yeah, Lipscomb is an example. Columbia Christian University is an example.
Yeah, Jewish synagogue schools when Jesus was around, so. But the question is can the church use the funds that are given to the church to do the work? Can we then take those funds and send them to like a college to, you know, or is that up to the individual? So I think that's the difference. We don't have, and I think he's right, the church has no right to assign its work to another organization. So if we sent money that people donated and contributed in order to further the gospel, then the church needs to manage those funds and not send them to another organization to do that work. We don't have the right to do that.
Okay.
Now, but that doesn't mean that a Christian college shouldn't exist or a college that espouses Christian principles shouldn't exist. It's just that individuals can support it, or it can support itself through fundraising or through however they want to support themselves, but the church can't turn over the work.
Okay.
Of the church, in my mind. That's the way I understand the scripture.
So you would say, correct me if I'm wrong, your understanding is that for the church to give up its work, that would be an addition.
Correct.
For the individual to take some of the funds that they would have given to the church and give them to the college instead, you would say that is
I think their primary obligation is to their local congregation. But if they wanted to, you know, I mean, however they divvy up their money is up to them. But so you and I, we contribute to this work here. But then in addition, we wanted to contribute, say, to Florida College and send them a check every month. We could do that. Or if we wanted to send it to Bushnell, or we wanted to send it anyplace else, we could if we chose to. So I'm not talking about taking money from or anything like that. You know, I don't know. That's up to individuals to make their own contributions the way they choose to make their contributions.
Okay.
So I wouldn't consider it an aid maybe it's an aid to furthering the gospel, or, you know, it's kind of like, you know, sacred selections is, you know, we know people who are a part of all of that, and they raise funds so that they can help families adopt children, Christian families adopt children into their families. They can help them financially. so that those children will ultimately, like our sacred selection, baby Dash, obey the gospel and, you know, be introduced to Jesus. So, so that's their work. They've chosen to do that, but they're not supported by the church. Okay. Or shouldn't be.
So,
in my estimation, that's what the way I understand the scriptures. But okay. If we want to contribute to them personally, we can.
Okay, but remember that as individuals, we're bound by what God tells us to do as well.
Absolutely.
So there's no question about that. And it may be that that's the way that it is. Okay, that's the way that it may be that individuals can do it, churches can't.
In my estimation.
Okay.
That's the way I understand the scriptures.
Okay. So, in the mind of some people, contributing to a college is giving a human organization the responsibility to teach the gospel, and that responsibility only belongs to the church. Mm-hmm. So, there are people who do not support the college.
Right.
For that reason.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Other comments? You had good comments, Kirsten. Mm-hmm. They're well thought out. Mm-hmm. So now we're faced with, how do we decide what is an addition and what is an aid? Is there some kind of durable rule that we can formulate, that we can rely on to help us know, to help us make a determination? And we have to make the determination.
I would hesitate to make a rule that's adding something.
I'm sorry?
I would hesitate to make a blanket rule because that's adding something.
Well, okay. Okay, you got me.
I wouldn't say it that way.
You got me. I should say it differently.
We have to look at the scriptures as the guide. And yes, there are going to be different understandings and different nuances when we study the scriptures. That's some of the things that we struggle with in Bible classes, and that's what that, and the struggle is good. That's why we have classes, and that's why we study, so that we can, you know, try to figure this stuff out.
Okay.
Figure out what God intended the church to do.
Okay. So, I came up with, go ahead.
Sorry. I was like, okay, so to me, the difference would be an addition, anything that somebody else might profit from what we're doing, or in a way that changes the way that, I don't know, I lost my train of thought. Because I feel like an addition to anything that we do is a human and a man-made addition, like a rule. Like if we make a rule, that's, you know, I think that's not right, because we have the Bible and it says what we have in there. An aid, it helps somebody. It helps people. It helps, and I keep thinking about aiding, our gentleman Jesse when he got baptized, and then that fellow, you know, like, and so we aided in him heading back home. I feel like that was an aid, because we did it out of a Christian way. Anything addition, I just feel like it's a human way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. It's just knowing how to decide. I mean, I can read all of the biblical information, and I could decide, like Cecil Willis, I can't support a college. Now, I reach a different conclusion, how do I, it's not just, well, I don't like the college, so I don't have a college education, nobody else should either, and I've actually heard that. So we can't just willy-nilly decide, well, we're not going to support the college, we're not going to support Florida College because I don't like the president of the college on a personal level. I just don't like him. So I can't argue. Now, that may be a reason for me not to support them, but I can't argue based on that, that that makes it an addition and that nobody could support the college. Okay?
Okay. Oh, so I was thinking, yes, I was just thinking of free will contributions. And aiding should come from the heart. And when we aid somebody, we're not expecting anything in return. It's just what we're supposed to do, because that's what Jesus has taught us to do, is that you help your fellow neighbor, love thy neighbor, right? Okay. Whereas an addition sometimes can be, I keep going back to money or just for your own self-interest. And one thing with like music, okay, so we add instruments because we want people to come to our church. I don't want people coming to our church just because we have an orchestra or a choir, or, you know, I want to put people in our seats because they want to hear the word of God.
Okay.
And I think that's where I see the difference, is an addition is not from the heart. It's you want something out of it. You want to brag about it. You want to, and whereas an aid aids you in loving thy neighbor and doing what God wants you to do.
Okay.
So I guess that's where I see the difference.
Okay. So let me look at the ideas that I came up with, because I think Kirsten is approaching those ideas. I think she's saying this is what we need to keep in mind when we examine any activity. Okay? First idea. Can this suggested activity stand on its own? Let's think about adding a musical instrument to our assembly. If nobody sang, would the musical instrument still make sense if it was playing the tune without the singing? So it's not an aid to the singing, it's something on its own. I think that makes it an addition, if it can stand on its own. Now, If you're talking about a metronome, it won't make any sense. It could stand on its own, you know, it could sit up there and go tick, 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 but it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, then it would be just an annoyance going tick, 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 tick. So I think a metronome is an aid. Now, I have heard people say that using a pitch pipe is an addition. And they would go back to the argument that Kirsten has made. You sing from the heart. It may not sound real good, but it's from the heart.
Yeah, but you can sing from your heart with an instrument.
I'm sorry?
You can still sing from your heart even though there's instruments. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you could sing from the heart even if...
Okay, right.
But the instrument could stand on its own. And it frequently does, because typically when someone is playing an instrument, they play an introduction and then they play an interlude at some point in the song, and then they play a conclusion at the end of the song. So the instrument is standing on its own. I think that makes it an addition. Okay? Now I can see the point that people are making that it's an aid. It's an addition that helps you sing on tune. But I think it's an aid. It's an addition. Okay. Here's another kind of rule that I have. Does participating in the suggested activity preclude participation in the underlying commandment? So, if your job is to play the trumpet as an accompanist to the music, you can't sing.
Okay, pick a piano then.
I'm sorry?
Pick a piano.
A piano, you could sing. I'm just saying this is another thing that I think about.
Okay.
Sometimes participating in one precludes participation in the other. And people would say that about the college. Sending money to the college precludes you sending money to the church. Because most of us only have a certain amount of discretionary income. Sending money as an individual to another individual to preach precludes spending my money, giving my money to the church. And that arises, you know, that there are all kinds of foundations that arose in Texas and Oklahoma when they started finding oil. And there were Christians that became fabulously wealthy because they found oil on their land. And they didn't want to give the money that they wanted to use to preach, they didn't want to give it to churches, so they set up a foundation that would distribute their money, and they had control of it. Sometimes they didn't even have control of it. They set up the foundation, and it continues after they're dead. So, does participating in the activity preclude participating in the underlying commandment? Sometimes it does. It doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, you could say, Kim and I have looked at our financial situation. We make a contribution of X to the church at Coburg Road. And then something happens and we find out about a preacher somewhere who needs help. I could say, over and above what I do at Coburg Road, I'll send money to this person as well. Okay? And we've done that. People have sent money to the Philippines to assist churches there. And the church has sent money to assist people in the Philippines. It's not quite as cut and dried as we sometimes make it sound. Okay? And then my last kind of point that I think about is it expedient? Even if it's lawful, some things are not expedient to do. Because, and in part, they're not expedient because it diverts attention from what we're trying to do. And that's back to Kirsten's point. It may be legitimate to have a metronome sitting on the podium beating the time, okay? But if it becomes an annoyance, then it's not expedient. So it may be lawful, maybe just an aid, and we could do that. But we would choose not to do that because it's just not expedient. And a lot of times, things that are lawful are problematic because they just create problems. They by their very nature, they create problems. Anybody else have other rules we could use? We do have to think about these things. And someone may conclude that something is an addition. If they concluded it was an addition and it precluded them from worshiping here, then it wouldn't be expedient. For us to participate in it. It might be lawful. It might be just an aid, but if it precludes someone from worshiping here, then I would suggest that we shouldn't do it. And that's how I approach these questions. Other comments? Go ahead.
So I mean, I've visited other churches and things like that, and I've just come to appreciate our church, and it's simple, it's to the point, it's not flashy, it's not I don't know, I feel like because we're doing what we do, God provides for all of us in some kind of way. Like, he gives us what we need. You know, it's a free will contribution, and so you give what you can. I mean, there's stories of, you know, the little old lady that didn't have hardly anything and she gave her money, and that was acceptable. So, you know, I hear other people talk about their churches and their tithes that they have to do. And we were talking the other day with somebody, and the preacher at this church isn't supposed to know about the tithes and has not supposed to even. And he called somebody up and said, "Hey, I noticed that you didn't make your tithes. So let's just take care of that right now." And she was like, "I'm sorry, but we stopped." Yeah, I mean, but he just had. And, you know, and she made a sizable contribution every week or every, I don't know how they did it, but for him to know how much she had and to know that it was missing and that she didn't, I just, you know, I don't know. I just think that that's not, I don't know. I just have come to appreciate our church and the values that we do. And yeah, it would be great to have a choir. Yeah, it would be great to have musical instruments, but you know, when we are all together, we sound amazing. You know, when everybody's there. So,
yeah, we sound pretty good.
I think if we want to support somebody, then, you know, I mean, again, that's individual. But I think the elders do a good job talking about, like, are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, and letting the members know and having a voice. And I think that that's what it's all about. I mean, it's, you know, we all can come together and help. And so, I don't know. Yeah. It is a different additions and aids, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, and I'm glad I'm here. So, nice to be back.
I'm glad you're here, too.
So.
Okay. That concludes our discussion of hermeneutics. And there are undoubtedly questions that we didn't get to, that I just didn't discuss. That doesn't mean they're not important. It's just something I didn't discuss.